Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I am joined by Mike Taglier. You can find us on Twitter at Mike Taglier NFL and at Kyle Y NFL. You can also find and follow us on Instagram at Kyle Y NFL and at Mike Taglier. Tags, what is up, man?
Oh, nothing. I debated having an alcoholic beverage before the show today. I'm going to be completely honest. I just wrapped up the Primer Draft Day Edition. This is the first time I've done that. I do it like during the season. I do it every week, and it's usually like 30,000 words. This one came out to, I think, just over 46,000. So it is up there. It's a paragraph on every single player from every team, like legitimately anything you'd want to know, I put in there. So go and check it out on fantasypros.com.
So here's the question. I'm going to bring in our guest to ask this question too. We're joined by Joe Pisapia, guys. And if you've listened to the podcast for any length of time, you know his name, and we're excited to have him back on. He's the author of the best-selling Fantasy Black Book. He's on TV 6 days a week at Sports Grid, and you can find him on Twitter at JoePisapia17. Joe, here's the question, okay? Day drinking. Let's talk about this for a second, okay?
Wow, you just went right to it, didn't you?
And we're going right into it, man. All okay, right. Here we go. Yeah. You go on vacation, right? Mm-hmm. My wife and I were in Mexico earlier on this year before the world freaking ended. And, you know, you're on vacation, having a beer at 10 a.m., like when we're recording this, like no problem whatsoever. What is the difference between going on vacation or working from home and having a beer at 10 a.m.? Is there a difference?
In 2020, no. I think there's none. By the way, Mexico is one of my favorite places to day drink. It is a lovely place, wonderful people. One time I said to the bartender, it was probably sometime around noon, like you're alluding to, and I said, hey, I would like a very authentic Mexican drink today, my friend. And he said, I've got you, my friend. And he made me something called an andale. And to this day, I don't know what it is, but as soon as I drank it and finished it, I said, andale, this is outstanding. True story.
Joe was doing dances in the courtyard or whatever.
I may or may not have been wearing a sombrero, Kyle.
Oh, that's so good.
All right, guys. Hey, before we move into today's topic, I want to make sure you all are aware of this insane giveaway we've got going on. We've got a signed Davante Adams helmet, a $200 gift card for Pristine Auction, a $200 gift card to Porter Road Butcher, a package of fantasy football goods for your league's champion and last place loser from Trophy Smack, and a one-month subscription to Fubo TV. We'll be giving this grand prize package away once we hit 7,000 reviews on Apple Podcasts. We have 6,600 right now. And in addition, we are going to give a bonus to the winner if they are a subscriber to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros. The bonus prize will be a Zoom call with our fantasy analyst. To enter the giveaway, just leave an honest review for our show on Apple Podcasts, take a screenshot of that review, and also take a screenshot showing that you subscribe to our YouTube channel to qualify for the bonus prize, and send those to contest@fantasypros.com. Tags, I've listened to a countless number of podcasts over the years, right, and have always just kind of skipped the part where they've talked about reviews, but just how important are they for us and the success of the podcast?
Well, I mean, they really are, obviously, because the more reviews we get, the more it shows our bosses that we're doing podcasts and people are enjoying them, and we get constructive criticism on them, because we want to know in the comment section what you guys actually feel about the podcast. Are there episodes that you feel like we should be doing? This year, we're going to be stepping it up, 6 podcasts a week in season. That's something we've never done. So obviously, the feedback has been phenomenal to this point. We want it to keep going that way, and obviously bring on more and more people. So thank you guys so much for submitting your reviews. It really means a lot, because we do read all those, and it does help us get better at our job, because sometimes things just blend together. But that's something that's public and everybody can see, and we would love for you guys to go out there and support us.
Absolutely. So for more details on this contest, just head to fantasypros.com/contest. Again, that's fantasypros.com/contest. All right, guys, we have got a jam-packed show today, so let's just dive right into it. We are talking bold predictions. These are the statements that will ring in everyone's ears as they are drafting in a couple of weeks, and they'll be tied to our names for the rest of the season. You know, no big deal. We are going to get through as many as we can, and then we have a fun little exercise at the end of the show. Sound good?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right.
This is the perfect guest for the show. I mean, I know, think we should let Joe start out, because, I mean, Joe's the king of this. I mean, I should be going after Joe, because like Joe knows by now like who the champ is of us two, and we usually save the best for last. Is that correct, Joe?
Oh, goodness. All I know is that last year my bold prediction on this show came true. I don't know how many of yours did, but my number one did. So
what was it?
It was Derrick Henry leading the league in rushing, if you recall.
Nice.
Yeah, that worked out. Last time I checked, Mr. Look at my 558,000 words. Look at all the words that I can make. I know all these words. My name is Mike Tagliere. Mike and I love each other, by the way. That's why we give each other crap. Just
for everybody listening. Completely. All right. Well, then let's start out with Joe here. Joe, 2020 bold predictions for the fantasy football season, not just 2020 in general, right? 2020 fantasy bold predictions. Let's kick it over to you.
You know what? Let's just kick it off right there then, Kyle. Let's do this. You know, Mike already wants to throw down the gauntlet. I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to smack him with it. And let's do it. Let's go Derrick Henry 2.0. Back to back, leading the league in rushing again. You know why? Because he's the focal point of the offense. You know why? He's the best weapon they have. He's the best weapon they're going to have. And Derrick Henry is a beast. You try to tackle Derrick Henry. You know what? You don't want to. I don't want to. No one wants to. The Ravens certainly didn't want to. The Patriots didn't want to. Nobody wanted to tackle Derrick Henry last year. Yeah, sometimes it starts off a little slow. But once we turn the page into October, into November, oh my goodness, it becomes Derrick Henry season. And I think, you know, the fact that he doesn't catch as many passes as people, you know, as some other running backs do, he gets a little bit of a negative stigma, and I don't think that's fair. When you're talking about yards are yards, and if he's going to get 1,400 of them again or more this year, and he's going to get all the touchdowns, that's good enough for me, and that's still a back that I feel very comfortable with owning and having him being my bell cow, being my number one, and even in PPR, building a roster around him. So, going down there to the well once again, my guy, repeat. Derrick Henry.
So wait a minute. Is this really bold, Yates? I think we should give him some crap for this.
You know, it was so bold last year, nobody thought he could do it, and now I'm saying he could do it again.
I just pulled it up while you were talking, because I was like, no way, Joe. Come on, you're better. So Derrick Henry, +600 odds. It's the highest. It's him and Ezekiel Elliott are actually tied for the one that's most likely to win.
And how many times has somebody led the league in rushing 2 years in a row?
I don't know, but that's still not bold.
Not though. Often.
Yates, you're the tiebreaker here.
It's bold enough for me, because...
Thank you, Kyle.
Henry didn't... Well, hold on, Joe. So Henry didn't do it by a wide margin, right? Nick Chubb was literally right there. So it's bold to say that he's going to finish it, you know, as the back-to-back, but yet, I mean, is it bold enough that... I don't know.
Well, we got to start off and build a little bit. You know, this was really one that I was just kind of... I had in the tank here with the other ones, but Mike was, you know, just coming out there ferocious right out of the gate there. And, you know, I'll tell you this much, you know, does it matter if a team wins a Super Bowl by 1 point? No, doesn't. You still get that ring, don't you? It's about winning. That's what it's about.
That's a fair point. All right, Tags, let's kick it over to you. What is your first bold prediction here?
All right, well, I'm going to give an actual bold prediction. And I'm going to say that Kyler Murray finishes outside the top 12 fantasy quarterbacks.
Oh, okay.
You know, we talked about him on the show yesterday in regards to the boom bust and everything in between piece. But as much as Cliff Kingsbury says that they still want to run those 70 plays per game or whatever it is, they still have to play defense. They still have to get off the field. They do have a better running back. And that's when we saw Kyler Murray's numbers dip down a little bit when Kenyon Drake kind of took over in the backfield as the three rebound back there. So going into 2020, I'm not saying, and again, this is a bold predictions basically show where we're talking about things that probably have a less than 10% chance of happening, but things that we think are better than the majority of public. And Kyler Murray being drafted as like the quarterback four, quarterback five right now in fantasy, I would say it's pretty bold to say that. But in the end, someone actually brought it up on Twitter and I didn't really think about it, is they said that it reminds them a lot of Baker Mayfield last year. Baker Mayfield, people forget, he was drafted as the number four quarterback in fantasy drafts last year. I wasn't one that was spending that. I think I had him at QB seven. So I was high on Baker last year. But at the same time, Kyler Murray, he might have QB one upside. Sure. You could have made the same argument last year that he had QB one upside, but his legs, when we went back to Vegas totals last year, I think people were shocked to find out that Kyler Murray's over under for his rushing yards was like 550 or something like that. And it seemed like Vegas knew more than we did going into this season. I don't think that we can raise those numbers considering the talent around him. Now, DeAndre Hopkins does elevate the level of play. We should see some progression in his career. But in the end, I mean, Kyler Murray might just turn out to be all hype.
So, Joe, I can't get there because and it would be different where with Baker Mayfield, he wasn't a runner, right? Like he could scramble and he's athletic enough to be able to, you know, evade pressure, but he didn't run the ball 93 times like Kyler Murray did last season and pick up 544 yards. So in fantasy football, where rushing is so crucial for the quarterback position, right? We see guys that are mediocre quarterbacks be top tier fantasy options because of their rushing ability. If Kyler Murray didn't possess that quickness, that, you know, that running ability, then I think I would be willing to say what Tag said, but with the rushing ability, I don't think he can fall outside the top four.
Yeah, I kind of agree. It's funny, as you were describing that, it sounded like you were describing Josh Allen to a T for a moment with all right. that. But there's a perfect example, right? You know, for all of his shortcomings in terms of fantasy, he still can get there. See, you know, Mike and I have different interpretations of bold. I like bold, strong. He likes bold and wrong. And I think Kyle Murray right here is in a situation where
that was good.
I try. Look, I understand where Mike's coming from. He makes a lot of good points too, but I do think the addition of Hopkins there, and especially Hopkins with a chip on his shoulder, man, I think with Kenyon Drake there, all the weapons they have, I think he's in a very unique position here to really take a step forward. I do agree though with the meta idea that Mike is saying. It's like, you know, Kyler Murray was good last year, but let's not put him into that elite level quarterback group yet. Like for me, he's right in that middle. And I think it's because, like you're saying, Kyle, it's because of the rushing ability. It's because he can make plays with his legs. And that always will allow you to bump up your fantasy value. And I'll tell you what, I think, you know, some small dump off passes to guys like Kenyon Drake are going to help as well, because that's going to be in positions going to pad some of those passing stats. By the way, I did some research here. The last time someone back to back rushing title winners, you want to take a guess on who this was? You want to take a guess on the name? Mike, Kyle, anyone? Trivia?
Emmett Smith.
No, not quite that long. Not quite that long. It was more than a decade ago, though. Who Mike, was it? You got to guess.
Oh, no, I'm more like fantasy. I don't pay attention to strictly rushing yards. Honestly, I couldn't tell you who the top five for rushing yards.
No, that's fine. It's LaDainian Tomlinson, 06-07.
That was the other name I was going to. That's the other name.
06-07. So 13 years ago. And before that, the last guy to do was Edgerrin James, 99-2000 back to back. So that doesn't happen. So twice since 1999.
Hey, that's quick, crazy. Hey guys, real quick before we move on to the next one, I want to say Gardner Minshew last year, if you go game by game with Kyler Murray, Gardner Minshew averaged one more passing yard per game. He averaged 0.25 more touchdowns per game. He averaged 0.32 less interceptions per game. The only difference is that Kyler Murray rushed for a little bit more than Gardner Minshew did. So if you're looking for Kyler Murray to discount, I go with Gardner Minshew. Again, Kyler Murray does, I'm not going to sit here and say he doesn't. He has top three upside. But based on what we saw last year and his 6.9 yards per attempt in this offense, I don't see a top three finish.
It's fair.
I don't see a top three finish either. But out of the 12, I think that's where it gets difficult.
Yeah. I should have probably said top 10, but whatever. I wanted to be bold.
Well, that's not what you said. So now we're going to hold you to it. You said at the top of the show, we're going to hold everybody to it. Kyle said that. So now we're going to hold everybody to it.
All right.
All right, guys, here we go. Here's mine. Calvin Ridley. I put this out on Twitter the other day. Calvin Ridley will outscore Amari Cooper this season. if we're looking at the Falcons offense and how just pass happy they are going to be, I think that there's more than enough volume to support two top 10 wide receivers with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. They're going to do it in different ways, right? Calvin Ridley is going to do it on the back of touchdown production. And Julio Jones has never been a guy who his yards to touchdown rate has always been super low. He's going to do it with ridiculous yardage and receptions. And Calvin Ridley is going to be the guy that they look at in the red zone. So looking then and flipping the coin over to Dallas with CeeDee Lamb stepping in, he's going to take a large portion of these targets. And then you have guys like Blake Jarwin, who I think will step up. You'll have Tony Pollard more involved in the offense with a more balanced approach in the backfield like Mike McCarthy has always rolled out. Zeke Elliott, of course, is going to be involved. Michael Gallup. So looking at Amari Cooper, he hasn't been the guy who's been this 150 targets every single season. He's been around, like, I think his max is like 120. So looking at Amari Cooper and saying that, I think he's still going to be involved. I still think he's going to be this guy who presents you week winning upside. But Amari Cooper this season in a offense that's very crowded versus Calvin Ridley in a pass happy offense that has, you know, Julio Jones and then some unknowns. Russell Gage isn't going to be super involved. Hayden Hurst will see a ton of targets himself, but Calvin Ridley is going to see more than enough. And I think he's an absolute bargain.
Yeah, I could not be more in love with Calvin Ridley this year. Everything you said is right. And last year, I was very much about Godwin being that guy you could draft as a number two, but really would become a one. So if you missed out on the run of number one wide receivers, that was a guy that was going to jump into that next tier. And Ridley's that guy for me this year, without a doubt. The way he finished last year, third year in the league, the offense they run, so many passing yards, so many passing attempts. I don't see that changing anytime soon, especially because if you look how they finished the season 6-2, what was working there was also getting Calvin Ridley the ball more. So you're not going to get away from what's working. That's NFL 101. And this year he's that guy for me. I've taken him everywhere. And because I play so much super flex, sometimes I will take the quarterback and miss out on that elite tier wide receiver. And so far, Calvin Ridley's been that default number one for me, and I got no issues with it.
I think we should change the name of the show to Lukewarm Predictions, because I don't think this one's outlandish. I have those between in my projections, 3 points within each other. So I don't think it's crazy at all. I could definitely see this happening, especially if CeeDee Lamb is better than I'm projecting him to be. And I have Lamb down for like over 90 targets. So I'm projecting Lamb to have a pretty sizable role. Amari Cooper, I mean, they're both two of my favorite football players. So you're having me argue against guys that I love. Like Amari Cooper and Calvin Ridley are two of the best route runners in the NFL. I do love them both. But Amari, you're right. He doesn't get the elite target share. And adding CeeDee Lamb to the offense isn't going to help matters. So I could definitely see this happening. I love Calvin Ridley.
All right, Joe, let's go back to you for your number two bold prediction.
All right. I think this one might be fun, but we'll see. You know, Tags is a tough grader in terms of my degrees of bold. So we'll see where he slides the color wheel here on this one. I'm going to say in PPR, Kareem Hunt outscores Nick Chubb this year. How about that? You like that one, Tags?
That's hot. That's hot.
Woo! There you go. Here you go. I got a stat for you because I know you like stats, Mike. All right. You're ready for this? So last year, in terms of the rest of the season, when Hunt came back, he was averaging, according to fantasy data, 12.7 PPR points per game. Nick Chubb was averaging 13.7. So there's only one off, 1 point differential there. So really, when you consider better offensive coordinator, again, it's in format. This is not in standard necessarily. I don't think that's capable. But in PPR, I think that between touchdowns, receptions, and whatever yardage he gets between rushing and receptions, that Kareem Hunt has a chance, especially when you look at the average here, to outscore. Again, it's not about total yards. It's about scoring. That Kareem Hunt could do it. Maybe it's a hot take. Maybe it's not. But it's a bold prediction, right, Mike? I got you. Is this bolder for you?
That is definitely bold, man. I like that one. That's actually something that I can get on board with in terms of like the boldness of it. I'm not going to agree with it, obviously, because Nick Chubb is just a phenomenal running back. Chubb is, I mean, if Kareem Hunt is phenomenal in his own right, but the thing is Nick Chubb is the guy that Cleveland's invested in. He's the guy that's going to be there long term. He's the workhorse. And going back to last year's numbers, it's something that we're all guilty of, is saying that Kareem Hunt was this running back and Nick Chubb was this once he arrived in the offense, but it's a different offense, right? Freddie Kitchens didn't know how to call an offense. Mm-hmm. Nick Chubb was terrible around the goal line last year. Like I posted,
I was going to say, Nick Chubb only had 5 touchdowns last year. So I just wanted to, you know, bring that back into account too. So if that trend continues, I think this is more possible possible than not.
Yeah, Chubb had, I want to say it was 16 carries inside the 5-yard line, something like that. And he had like -9 yards on those carries. It's something ridiculous. Like I saw the number and I was like,
15 attempts inside the 5 for -14 yards.
That's what it was. I knew it was something bad like that. And that's just, that comes down to offense.
Kyle, were you just waiting with that one? Like, how'd you get that so bad?
It's so terrible to like that offense, watching it being called every single week was just brutal. So Nick Chubb is a phenomenal running back, and it takes nothing away from Kareem Hunt. I don't see this happening, but I can appreciate the actual boldness of it, Joe.
Thank you. I just want your approval at the end of the day. That's all I want.
Does this scare you off of drafting Nick Chubb at his current draft price, Joe?
No, it doesn't, because everything that Mike said is right. Nick Chubb is fantastic. I think that you just have to take into account, where are the touchdowns? Where are the receptions? Because, you know, last year he only caught 36 balls and the trend certainly went away. And I'll say this, I think Stefanski in this group is going to find a way to utilize both of these backs. And I think it's going to be to the benefit of Baker Mayfield and the offense as a whole. But I do think they're going to both get a lot of attention here, and rightfully so. And I think kind of like the Saints a couple years ago, you're going to see the ability of a two-headed monster here, where you could even get two guys that are, you know, RB1 finishers at the end of the day. It's not impossible. To me, actually, I think it's the path to victory for the Browns is to step up the defense a little bit more, run the hell out of the football, and let Baker Mayfield develop a little bit more at his own pace, as opposed to trying to force that pace on him, which is what happened last year under bad play calling, under a lot of tumultuousness. But I think when you have to look at it overall, Chubb is a great player. I think everybody forgets how good Hunt was. Yes, you could say Andy Reid's offense helps that. Absolutely. That would not be wrong. But the stats don't lie. And in terms of points in PPR leagues, just one single point was the differential last year. And that was with a guy who didn't play for the first 10 weeks.
All right, Tags, let's go to you. Number 2, bold prediction.
All right. I'm going to go with the guy that actually let's just piggyback off what just Joe said. I'm going to say the guy that I think is a later round version of Nick Chubb this year. I'm going to say that Jonathan Taylor finishes as a top 10 fantasy running back.
Wow.
And yes, I am fully aware of Frank Reich's comments saying that Marlon Mack is probably going to be, he's going to be the starter, but that they're going to ride the hot hand. And I'm not buying them at all, because we've seen Marlon Mack in this offense and we've seen him be pedestrian at best. He was an RB2 or better just 50% of the time last year, getting a giant workload. They never wanted to go to Nyheim Hines. And I know a lot of people keep bringing up Nyheim Hines and he's going to be the new Austin Eckler and he's going to do this. He's not. He was on the field for 21 snaps a game last year when Marlon Mack wasn't efficient at all. They even decided to go to Jonathan Williams over him as the, you know, once the injuries started to pile up. So Jonathan Taylor is he's very similar to Nick Chubb in the fact that he's a great 1-2 down back. He's shown the ability time after time in college that he could withstand a giant workload. He may not be a guy that's going to catch 50 passes in a season, but even if he catches 25, 30 balls, he's going to be good enough on the ground behind a top 3 offensive line in football to finish as a top 10 running back. And I think people are going to look back next year. They're going to say, how did we miss on Jonathan Taylor? Like, we knew he was really good, right? We knew that he played behind one of the best offensive lines in football. Were we really that scared about Marlon Mack? He's going to be a top 10 running back.
I like this one. And I had looked at Jonathan Taylor. I didn't write him down as far as one of my bold predictions, but I had looked at him and said, like, I think there is a possibility that he finishes as a top 12 running back this year. Joe, what are your thoughts? Do you think this is bold enough for you?
I think it's bold enough for me. Yeah, I'll be gentle on the bold scale for a change here on the program. I will say this. I think the only hesitancy I have is if there is a little bit of a slow progression here for him, that could hurt him where he finishes. And I think that's the only problem here with this prediction is, you know, if it takes 4 or 5 weeks for this to happen, for Taylor to really emerge in that backfield, if they, you know, take the first month of the season, say we have an older veteran quarterback here, Marlon Mack's been here, Marlon Mack also last year of the deal, we can kind of, you know, run him into the ground a little bit here to start the season. That's the only concern is where's Taylor at with the reps? There's no preseason games. There's no, you know, there's not enough opportunity maybe early on for him to steal that role right away outside of an injury, which is not out of the realm of possibility. So for me, it would take either an injury or an incredibly early start, which I think both of those things under the guidelines of what's going on would be difficult. But I don't think it's crazy to think that this could happen. Absolutely. The talent is certainly there. And, you know, Mike pointed out he's running in front of a great offensive line. Guess what? He's got a great offensive line here with the Colts last time I checked, who are also coached by Frank Reich, not Doug Peterson.
Probably a good thing.
I mean, what this indicates for those who are listening is that Jonathan Taylor's an absolute value. right now. I think 100%. He's going out in the 20s, right? And current ADP, which stands for average draft position. So if you're looking for someone to be a RB2 complement that you can get a little bit later, Jonathan Taylor's a perfect guy to target. 2020 has been the year of things happening that are completely out of your control. But there is one thing that you can control, and that's your below-the-belt grooming. Our sponsors at Manscaped are here to remind you to do so. Fellas, we've all been there. We've all tried to figure out how to take care of our below-the-belt grooming, and it may not have ended up going so well. The days of worrying about what's going to happen and dreading the worst-case scenarios are now gone, thanks to Manscaped. The Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 is a premium electric trimmer that's designed to give you a confidence boost through body image. Their ceramic blade and skin-safe technology are designed to reduce nicks or tugs. The Lawnmower 3.0 is also waterproof and comes with an LED light. They also just released their Shears 2.0 nail kit, which is the perfect add-on to their Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. The Shears 2.0 is a luxury four-piece nail kit featuring tempered stainless steel tools, and it includes tipped tweezers, rounded point scissors, fingernail clippers, and a medium grit nail file. The Shears 2.0 nail kit all allows you to pluck your eyebrows and trim your nails in style. Go to manscaped.com and check out some of these life-changing products. In fact, listeners of this show will get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Yates at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code Yates. It's time to take control of 2020 by heading to manscaped.com. All right, I am going to go with Cam Newton returns to his old form and finishes as a top 7 quarterback this season.
Oh, I love it.
Looking at Cam Newton and the last time that we saw him on the football field, it was not great, right? I think we can all agree with that. But he was dealing with ankle injuries, shoulder issues. He's had a significant amount of time now to get his body right. And from all indications, he's perfectly healthy and he's ticked off. And so I think a motivated Cam Newton, and we've seen Cam Newton just from his rushing ability alone be a cheat code for fantasy football. And so if you can get him, and the best part about all this is that you're getting Cam Newton in like the 20s right now in quarterback ADP. So like get Cam Newton, and especially if you're looking for a streamer week one against Miami, Cam Newton is a perfect guy to target if you're going to go a late quarterback strategy, because you can roll him out week one against a average defense, right? They were atrocious last year. They made improvements, but you're going to know right away if Cam Newton is back to his old self. If he is, great. You have a locked and loaded starting quarterback for the rest of your season. If not, if he doesn't look like he's fully healthy, great, cut him. Move on to someone else. But I believe that he will return to his old form and finish as a top 7 quarterback. I'll turn it over to you guys. What do you think?
Look, for me, I actually want to piggyback on this with my next bold prediction, because it involved Cam Newton, and that was that he was going to lead the Patriots in not only rushing touchdowns this year, but also rushing yards. And it's not so much because nobody, you know, it's basically based on Sony Michel's health, the question marks of who is going to be the guy. James White's not going to carry a heavy, you know, rushing workload. He's going to be a guy who's going to get a lot of, you know, touches in the offense, the way it's structured, the way that offense is, and his role in it between Damien Harris, between, we'll see what Lamar Miller is, between Burkhead, all these guys. I don't see anybody kind of getting over 750 or somewhere around there. And it's not that long ago. It's just 2017 where Cam Newton had 754 yards rushing. And his average in 2018, when he still wasn't 100% healthy, was still 4.8. So I think this offense is basically his to run with. So I'm kind of with you, like all the bold predictions possible, go get him. And I love where he is in Superflex too, because he is a really easy grab whenever you want him in QB2. And he could end up as a QB1. It's not out of the realm of possibility. And there's so much motivation there for him. And I have certainly struggled with Cam Newton before. I have been a person at times have been really tough on him. But I also know what kind of talent he is, and I also know how motivated he is right now. So I think it's worth a fantasy investment to find out if all that can come to fruition.
I think part of it, too, is that the perception on Cam Newton is that he's like 35 years old and he's broken down. Like,
right.
No, he's 31 years old. And like I think Russell Wilson is that age, too. Right. So he's right around there. So it's like looking at Cam Newton, he's not as old as we think. Tags, what do you think here?
Well, I mean, comparing him to someone like Russell Wilson is a little difficult for me, just because it's almost like comparing someone like Jimmy Graham to a smaller tight end. You know what I mean? Like these guys are physical specimens. Calvin Johnson, Rob Gronkowski, Jimmy Graham, Cam Newton fits in that category of guys that are just physical specimens that are not supposed to move the way that they did at that size. And it only lasts for so long. And I think we've seen Cam Newton already start to break down. At 31 years old, it's not ancient talent or anything like that for a quarterback, but Cam Newton was never a quarterback. Let's be real about it. He's thrown more than 24 touchdowns one time in his entire career. He made a living off of his rushing yards. And over the last 4 years, he's topped 488 rushing yards just once. You know, and again, coming off these injuries, starting in a new offense, dealing with a new set of wide receivers, learning a new playbook, shortened off season with no preseason games. There's a lot of reasons that I'm a little worried about Cam. I also, and I know this is really petty of me, and I know some people are going to come at me about it. And I'm being completely honest with you. I'm being transparent, and I'm telling you how I feel about Cam Newton right now. I want to like Cam Newton. I have an issue. I think Cam Newton cares more about his image right now than he does about the actual football. I hate the fact that he shows up to post-game press conferences with this old lady bag on his head. And, you know, when you lose a football game, show up there like a man, talk about the game.
Oh, 100%.
I'm not saying, like, you can't have any style. Again, I know people are going to come at me about this, but...
No. You're not wrong. Look, it's not about style. It's about leadership. It's about demeanor. It's about, especially the quarterback position.
Yes, you are putting too much thought into your outfits. Put more thought into your football game.
Right. Look, this is my biggest issue with Cam, and you basically... So, like, we're brothers of the same mother here when it comes to this. And you could put me down for how much this irks me even more, because we had to have, like, a support group on the Black Book podcast about this when this happened, because as a Patriots fan... So much of what you're saying is my deepest, darkest nightmares about all this scenario. And I never could understand how that could work out with Bill Belichick. But maybe, just maybe, that's exactly the kind of guy where it works out for, where he can get him to focus. Because if anybody can, it's him. If anybody garners enough respect in this league in terms of, hey, look at all these rings, then it's him. And I'm holding out hope for that. But we have to acknowledge that his personality is certainly very different than some others, especially at the quarterback position. And that's not a problem. The problem is, I think what Mike's saying is absolutely true, which is when the personality and the extracurricular things become a distraction, and then also, you know, not taking enough self-accountability for your losses and wins. You know, it's crazy. Like, you'd see him in a post-game press conference, even when they would win, and he would look morose and all these things. You know, I just try to figure it out. Like, what's wrong with this dude? Where is he coming from here? You know, and I'm with you, Mike. I don't think that's a crazy thing to think about at all.
No, he does a lot of good things off the field, and I don't want to
say he does great things off the field. He's a good guy.
He does, and that's what I'm saying. I want to like Cam Newton, but those things really irk me a little bit.
Let's like him. You know what? Let's like him. It's 2020. It's a terrible year. You and me, we're going to like Cam Newton. We're going to start now. We'll see how long it works. How's that?
He's being drafted around QB 15. So I think his draft position is perfectly fine to take that chance on him. I just don't know how I feel about it. I don't think it happens. But again, if you draft him as QB 15, you have no issues cutting him for another streamer. That's fine.
That's rising. His ADP is rising. Last I checked, it was in the 20s. So that's crazy. Let's keep moving here, guys. Joe, that was your third one. So Tags, let's go over to your third bold prediction here.
All right, guys. So you may have heard, you may not have heard. It's something that I heard yesterday, that John Ross had to leave the Bengals because his newborn child and the mother of that child both have COVID. So he's left the team to be with the family for a little bit. So they placed him on the COVID list, and he's gonna be away from the team, which kind of takes away a little bit of sleeper appeal that I had with him. But at the same time, it allows me to make this bold prediction. AJ Green and Tyler Boyd both finish as top 20 wide receivers this year.
I like this. I have so many AJ Green shares. No, I mean, it's one thing, and this is what I always say. It's all about the value. And this is like Black Book 101, right? This is like, what's the player? What's the talent? What's the value compared to the other players around there? And I always used to struggle when AJ Green was going as a top five wide receiver, because you would have a game log that would be a little sporadic, a little Amari Cooper-esque at times, and that would always bother me. It's like, where's that floor every week? And, you know, coming off the injury, he's hit rock bottom, and he's got a young quarterback here who is very exciting potentially, and if everything breaks right, now all of a sudden you're giving him to me at a huge discount, and Boyd's kind of tied into it too. Without Green on the field, you know, it was a struggle for Tyler Boyd last year. There's no doubt about that. So both these guys together, I know you're very much on the Joe Burrow bandwagon. I'm probably right behind you. And I think that this is a great call here. And it, once again, it doesn't cost you much to be wrong. If you're wrong, you're wrong. But AJ Green as a low end wide receiver two right now, which is where he can go in a lot of drafts, then why wouldn't you take him? Cause there's going to be some weeks where he performs like a number one, and those 5-6 weeks are going to absolutely be worth that draft investment, Kyle.
I mean, so AJ Green has been someone that I've been down all offseason, right? I've liked Tyler Boyd more. In this offense, and it's trying to learn from previous seasons where I was very high on Baker Mayfield, right? Specifically last year, and especially with a shortened offseason, I don't want the hype on Joe Burrow. I really like Joe Burrow, but I don't want the hype to get too excessive where I'm projecting him for more than 25 passing touchdowns. Though I think his receiving options here are loaded, and I think that he certainly can do it because, you know, like you said, the support, like I said, the supporting cast around him is amazing. But the more that I see coming out of training camp, these videos of AJ Green, he's back on the field, he's working with Joe Burrow, he's looking healthy. Like, everything indicates that I'm too low on AJ Green. So I have to go back and move him back up to go top 20. I don't know if I'm there necessarily, but is there a path for it? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Here's a fun fact for you, Kyle. Since 2014, Andy Dalton has only thrown for 25 touchdowns twice, and we've gotten more than one good AJ Green season out of those years. So that's something. If that is his watermark, and you're right too, like maybe he throws for 25 touchdowns and maybe he scratches 4,000 yards or 38 or something like that. I mean, you look at the Andy Dalton stats and they look like almost like a rookie stat line, right? Like the average is like maybe 3,400 yards and 25 touchdowns. If Joe Burrow can do that, who's to say, like we've seen in the past, Tyler Boyd have a good season with that kind of a stat line from a QB? Same thing for AJ Green. So I actually think, you know, I'm optimistic actually that, you know, all of that can actually fall in line.
Yeah, to be fair, like when I was doing the Bengals projections, like I like this team a little bit too much and I try to dial back expectations and I have Burrow down for 25 touchdowns. That's exactly where I have him. Like, I don't think okay. many people realize, like, even Jimmy Garoppolo threw 27 touchdowns last year.
Right.
Burrow can do it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think he can. I think he, as far as the talent level, I'll say that Joe Burrow right now is better than Jimmy Garoppolo. I will go out and say, count that as a bold prediction. I don't know.
Oh, they trade for him like immediately. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so, but as far as a shortened offseason, truncated offseason, no, you know, no preseason, anything like this, for a rookie quarterback to step in and immediately take those like high marks for a rookie quarterback, it's just, I don't know if I'm willing to project that, if that makes sense.
Oh, it definitely makes sense to me. And I also think that you're doing something you said is I think very poignant, and I'm going to point it out here on the program for everybody listening, which is you said, you know, I don't like this player, but now I'm starting to, you know, change my tune a little bit. I think even the best analysts out there, like all the work that all you guys do, all the work that I do, at a certain point, you have your opinions about things, but then opinions fall in line with value. And when those two things converge and you start to look at it, you realize, okay, if I'm wrong, it's worth the value to find out, because, you know, I might not be, you know, I might not be, you know, in that scenario where this actually could be right. And everyone's wrong about stuff sometimes, you know, believe it or not, fantasy analysts, I know it's crazy, folks. They are wrong sometimes. The trick is, are they giving you good information to be right most of the time? And obviously you guys do a great job of that. But on top of it, I think it's also understanding at certain times you have to be flexible. You have to take your opinions. You have to take your knowledge of things and then look at the board and say, yeah, but for this value, it's worth a shot to find out. If I am wrong, okay, I'll make adjustments to it. But sometimes it you know, that value kind of intersects and all of a sudden it becomes a perfect storm where it's worth finding out on a player.
For sure. All right, here is my third bold prediction. Miles Sanders will outscore Derrick Henry in PPR formats.
Uh-oh, Joe's going to be mad at you.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's I love Miles Sanders, man. I mean, so I mean, you know, Doug Peterson, by the way, coach there.
I'm never going to live that down.
You never get anything wrong. Come on, give me this. Like, you got one thing. And it's only because you wrote all those words. So, like, I'm sure they're all, like, flying around your head right now. but no, it's – I don't think that's crazy at all. I mean, Miles Sanders could have a transcendent season. And the thing about Sanders is so great is that the dude doesn't have to touch the football nearly the amount of times that Derrick Henry does to be, as you know, the same kind of fantasy talent. So I don't think that's crazy. I think it's bold. I think it's fun. I don't necessarily think it's going to come to fruition. But – in PPR, it's certainly possible, man. What do you think about it, Mike?
I think it's possible. I'm not willing to bank on it or anything like that, but Miles Sanders is moving right up there next to Derrick Henry in drafts. And it's a decision, like, if you really do want to believe this one, then you have to draft Miles Sanders at number 6, number 7 overall, because he's not falling to the second round anymore. Now that, as we get further and further into this offseason, I've been moving him up my draft board, moving him up, and I don't know when it stops, because because it's at some point you have to say, okay, we still have to remember, like, let's pull ourselves back for a second and say it's still Doug Peterson. You know, the snaps that we saw Miles Sanders play towards the end of the year were out of necessity. People forget, you know, Alshon Jeffrey was out. DeSean Jackson was out. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside was terrible. The tight end position, obviously those guys stepped up in a big way. They saw like 222 targets last year. Like no other team in the NFL going back to like 2013 has seen more than like 190 something. So it was ridiculous. Miles Sanders had to be using the passing game a whole lot more. Even Boston Scott was chipping in while Miles Sanders was performing like, you know, almost like an RB1. So I can definitely see it with Miles Sanders. I think the talent's there. Obviously the offensive line is solid. The offense is good. But again, Doug Peterson's someone that has been a thorn in everyone's side. And I, just because we saw it over the final 6 weeks or whatever it was that Jordan Howard was out, I don't want to automatically assume that Miles Sanders is going to be the guy that's going to be playing 60 snaps a game, because I think that there's some built-in risk there, whereas where someone with Derrick Henry, there's really no risk outside of injury with him. So that's why I would still take Derrick Henry, but I do understand the love for Miles Sanders, because as we get closer to the season, he's moving up my draft boards.
Do you like Sanders more than Hilaire?
No, I wouldn't take him over Hilaire. I would take him over Josh Jacobs, though.
Okay.
Yep. I would as well.
Yeah, I was curious, because I feel like that's like the conversation. It's like, do you take what you saw out of Miles Sanders last year and take advantage of what, you know, the history of people not liking what Doug Peterson's done with running backs? Or do you take the guy you haven't seen at all, put him into, you know, that offense, which, you know, I had Fabiano on Sports Grid last week, and we were talking about the Hilaire thing and going through the list of rookie running backs in Andy Reid's past. and talking about the seasons of Westbrook, of McCoy, and all these guys, and it's, you know, it's kind of stunning at times to go back and look at it. I know the game's changed a little bit over the years, but still, you know, rookies have done pretty well, and Kareem Hunt being one of them as well.
Yeah, it all depends on what you want with your running back that you're taking in the first or second round, right? In that back end of the first, early second, do you want the potential upside with Miles Sanders? Do you want this guy who could absolutely boom this season? Or do you want Derrick Henry, who I think, and you've said this, Tags, that you don't think Derrick Henry has RB1 upside, but he is going to be so steady and so consistent because you know the workload that he's getting. So I think it all depends on what you want to take in the first round. Let's go one more around the table here. Joe, what is your fourth bold prediction?
I'm going to throw this out here just to make everybody mad at me. I'm going to be the heel of the show in wrestling terms. I'm going to do it. I sat on the fence here, wasn't going to do it, but hey, whatever. This is the way the show is going today, so let's do it. Davante Adams is going to get hurt again this year, and Davante Adams, unfortunately, is going to have to finally get regulated here in the fantasy world, because although he is incredibly consistent, although he does score touchdowns, the dude has missed 7 games in the last 3 years, and we hammer everybody about time missed and all these things, and, you know, this is a guy that misses time and misses games and all these things, and, well, how many receptions does he have and all these other things. I understand when he's on the field, he's incredibly consistent. I'm also understanding of where we are with the Green Bay offense and Aaron Rodgers specifically at this point in time, in this juncture, and still the lack of a definitive number two wide receiver or even number two target guy in this offense. And I think this is the year where, once again, we have to kind of get correct a little bit. And we realize that Davante Adams is just a tad overrated. There you go. I said it. Come at me.
I am not going to comment on this one at all. I'm going to turn it over to Davante Adams' fanboy. Tags, what do you have here?
I said nice things about him. I'm also said realistic things.
Yeah, it's like, that's a backhanded compliment. I love you, but I want a divorce. That's basically what you're saying. That's terrible. Davante Adams is one of the better wide receivers in the NFL, and he's tied to Aaron Rodgers. And despite the fact that Rodgers literally just had his worst season ever, Davante Adams was still someone that you could have used in your fantasy lineup as a wide receiver one, a consistent wide receiver one every week. Over the last 2 years, 11 targets per game, that's elite territory. You don't touch that. He's like, legitimately for me, he's a can't miss player. If you want to take him over Michael Thomas, do it. I don't really care. Both of those guys are going to be extremely consistent. One is going to be playing in the second year of an offense, should get better. There's really no competition around him. The other one is going to be playing in an offense that I'm expecting to run the ball a little bit more. They added Emmanuel Sanders. There's some regression coming from Michael Thomas. So stop.
He's got 1,000 yard receiving
stop
season.
Stop saying that.
He's got 100 yard reception season.
That's the worst argument ever. I hate that argument, because if you break it down on a per game basis, it's different.
Well, and yes, but what's the most important thing is that you're on the field every game, right? And he played 14 games.
But we can't project injuries.
No, you can't. But you know what's funny? Julio Jones gets all this crap, right? About, oh, Julio, and Julio's not healthy, and Julio. You know what? You go look at those Julio totals, man. 104, 136, 113. How about these? How about these yardage totals for Julio Jones? 1,500, 1,800, 1,400, 1,400, 1,600, 1,300. Where is that for Devontae Adams?
Well,
where is it?
He doesn't do it. Okay, so I broke my promise. I am going to comment. So Devontae Adams he's never been a high yardage guy. But like Joe, go and look at 10 touchdowns in 2017, 13 touchdowns in 2018.
Dude, the dude is incredibly efficient and consistent. I'm giving him all that credit in the world.
No, you're not. No. Neither of you guys are giving enough credit because he had 1,386 yards in 2018.
One time.
And last
One
year,
time.
And yards per game over a 16-game pace, that's 1,329 yards. So don't tell me he's not a yardage guy.
Yeah, 997 yards in 12 games last year.
You know what's cute about that? He still had less yards than Julio last year.
Well, Julio's the man. Like, let's be real. But Julio doesn't score double-digit touchdowns.
Yeah, but everybody puts Devontae Adams over Julio Jones, and it drives me crazy. And I've had it, and I'm going to take a stand.
Julio is part of that top tier with Michael Thomas and Devontae Adams. I will fight anybody
I will say that with Tags. Tags has been backing this up all offseason. I know that Tags loves Devontae Adams, and he just made that claim that if you want to take Adams over Michael Thomas, then he has no issue with that. I have an issue with that.
I
think
too.
Thomas is more consistent. So, and he doesn't right now present the injury risk that Adams has. But as far as Adams going over Julio, Tags has been the one to say that they're in the same tier all offseason.
In the last 3 years, Julio's missed one game for all the, quote, injuries and leg
issues.
That
is absurd.
And you know what? Devontae Adams has missed seven. So I just want to point that, and it's, and again, I think you can be realistic and say positive things about people, but also have constructive criticism about their value. And I think there is sort of a hyperbole when it comes to him, where people want to put Devontae Adams in this other tier where I think it's Thomas and Julio, and then Devontae Adams is in a different class, not necessarily that same one. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying I wouldn't take him in the first round of PPR. I'm not saying that he won't be great. I'm saying is I think we have to come to a realization that perhaps he's slightly overrated, not based on his per game returns, but perhaps on the body of work as a whole when you sit back and look at it compared to the other players in that top tier like Julio and Michael Thomas. And again, it's my opinion, but I did bring a bunch of stats to back it up because I knew Mike was going to come after me. So I'm going to go hide in my hole now.
Is this similar to how we viewed Keenan Allen several years ago? Keenan Allen just couldn't stay healthy. And then the past three seasons, he's played all 16 games.
Interesting question, Kyle. I mean, gosh, I don't know. It is. That's gosh. A really fair question. Gee whiz. No, but
golly.
See, it is. Golly, it is. You're not wrong, though. I mean, the only difference is the touchdown rate of Adams is higher, but I don't know. Keenan Allen is another. I mean,
I was saying, is it similar to how we viewed Keenan Allen for so many years that he was injury prone? And there was a point playing fantasy four years ago where I was like, I'm not drafting Keenan Allen. No matter what, I'm just not drafting him because he comes with this injury risk. And then all of a sudden, now the past three seasons, he's played all 16 games.
Everyone's injury prone until they're not. That's basically that's why I don't buy. I love buying players that are coming off like an injury. Like AJ Green is coming at a major discount because he missed last year. I'm fine with that. I'm cool with that. He's a proven NFL player. Like taking players that like someone like Deebo Samuel, for example, he's not someone I will own this year because not only is he coming off that injury. So you do want to bake that in. And it's an injury that happened this year, but he has a very small sample size of production. Guys that are proven producers like Julio Jones, actually, like guys, I think people forget Julio Jones was someone that was labeled as injury prone early in his career and that he'd miss time all the time. He was always nicked up. How the hell is he putting up all these 1500 yard seasons? You know what I mean?
He's putting up a lot of them.
Well, that's the scary part is that he's still always nicked up and he's still putting up the ridiculous yardage because he's playing through it. Imagine if we had a fully healthy Julio Jones, my word.
Julio the goat, man. He's the best.
Julio's incredible. And I guess this just comes from like in the Black Book, you know, the Black Book with RPV takes into account 3-year averages, previous season, and all these things. And we look at the RPV for Julio Jones and Devontae Adams, like they're not super far off, but Julio is I just don't think gets enough credit, whereas everybody continuously is just heaping all this praise on Adams. And it's not that Adams isn't good. It's that the body of work is not in the same universe for me right now. And I'll tell you what, I'll take it a step further. The offense is not nearly as appealing to me as a fantasy
Very
owner
true.
In Green Bay as it is in Atlanta.
I mean, the difference is that it's a larger pie in Atlanta, you know, more passing volume, but then you do have other options. We've talked about Calvin Ridley. We've talked about Hayden Hurst. In Green Bay, it's freaking Devontae Adams and then a bunch of unknowns. And it's always been just Devontae Adams and a bunch of unknowns. So, all right, Tags, let's go to you for your fourth bold prediction.
Oh man, I have two that I really wanted to say. I'll stick with the Falcons, and I'm going to say that Matt Ryan is a top five quarterback. Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley are top 10 wide receivers, and Hayden Hurst is a top five tight end.
There we go.
I actually had a draft where I think it was Scott Fishbowl, where I have Matt Ryan, Calvin Ridley, and Julio. I don't think I got Hurst in Scott Fishbowl, but I definitely have those three guys together. So it's going to be an interesting bye week that week, but whatever. I don't care.
as far as Ryan returning value on a top five quarterback, I think he has to do it with hitting his numbers from 2018, where he had 35 passing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You know, he has to hit that mark. And if that's the case, then absolutely Hayden Hurst, Calvin Ridley, and Julio Jones are going to return insane value. If he hits 25 passing touchdowns, 26 like he had last year, I don't think he's going to hit top five. He has to finish with 30 or more passing touchdowns, in my opinion.
Yeah, and he's kind of alternated. He had 28 touchdowns and 21, then 38 touchdowns and 20, then 35 touchdowns and 26. So are we back on the 35 plus train? I'd be down with that.
I hope so. If so, I'm winning Scott Fishbowl this year.
I am going to go with my final one here, and this one is pretty bold. Henry Ruggs will outscore Keenan Allen in 2020.
Ooh, that is bold. That is bold.
I loved Henry Ruggs coming out of college. He was my number two wide receiver in, you know, as we were doing dynasty big boards and all that. I had Jerry Jeudy, then Henry Ruggs, and so looking at his role in this offense, my big concern, it just came out recently that he's going to be the slot receiver in this offense, which means Hunter Renfrow is gone. He's nothing more than just a backup role, which I don't fully understand because I think Hunter Renfrow was pretty good last year. But when you can supercharge that position and put Henry Ruggs in it, I think it's incredible. And I think he is going to be heavily targeted in this offense. And I think that he can take any pass to the house. And so looking at Keenan Allen and his touchdown totals from the previous seasons, he's never scored more than six touchdowns in the past several years. Eight was his highest, and that was his rookie season. So Keenan Allen, especially with Tyrod Taylor as the quarterback, and even if they do move away from Tyrod to Justin Herbert, it's not like Justin Herbert, who I was not a fan of coming out, is going to elevate this offense immensely. And so Henry Ruggs, you get him 110 targets, and with his ability, receiving ability, after the catch ability, he is going to be able to drastically outperform his expectations right now. So Henry Ruggs is an absolute steal right now in drafts. We finally have clarity on what his role is going to be. I think he outscores Keenan Allen this year.
But Yates, how is Henry Ruggs going to get 110 targets if Hunter Renfrow is getting 100 targets?
I just said Hunter Renfrow went away.
I'm just kidding. It was a joke.
Well, that fell flat.
I really don't like Hunter Renfrow at all.
Well, it fell flat.
He's the definition of just a guy. That's the definition of Hunter Renfrow
right.
to me. Henry Ruggs, I actually was not with you on Ruggs in terms of like pre-draft. I didn't love Ruggs, but I actually think that he fell into a situation where he should contend with Jalen Reagor. That was actually my last bold prediction that I didn't get to share, but I'm going to find a way to fit it in here and say that Jalen Reagor is a top 25 wide receiver this year. Because Ruggs was the guy that I was picking to be the best redraft wide receiver until Jalen Reagor. We found out that Alshon Jeffrey was going to the PUP list and that DeSean Jackson's obviously 34 years old. I mean, Greg Ward, from when he came into the starting lineup, Greg Ward in Philly, he was the wide receiver 33, I think, over the final 4 weeks. Yeah, Jalen Reagor, he's a stud. But Ruggs, I can get on board with this to say that Ruggs is going to outproduce expectations. Like, I have a whole bunch of Henry Ruggs in early drafts, but Keenan Allen, I don't like Allen this year. I think I have him down at wide receiver 27 or 28. I just don't know if Derek Carr can support a top 30 wide receiver.
I think it's interesting. I really do. I'm with you. I don't see Herbert. I don't get it personally. And I'm the quarterback guy. Like, I like to pride myself on, understand the quarterback position every year. I try to learn more about it. I've read the Bill Walsh book. I've done the whole thing. Like, I'm really trying to, get better about all these things. And I don't see the appeal of Herbert. And I feel like that change is going to happen at some point. And I think that could be a huge detriment too. So that combination of things, playing with Tyrod Taylor, then potentially Herbert for, maybe 5-6 games, whatever it ends up being, on top of already a low ceiling for touchdowns. It's not absurd because Ruggs is one of these guys that, like you said, touches the football once. That's a fantasy day. You know, he gets that one catch at 70 yards and a touchdown. Well, guess what? It doesn't really matter. I got to ask you this too. What's his most appealing format for you for Ruggs? Because I imagine it's not PPR. Is it a standard even because of, that big play upside, or is it a best ball? Like, where does your biggest, best value?
I have him at wide receiver 31 in half PPR formats right now. So I think in a standard, I think he would get a little bit of a boost because, yeah, he does come with, he's not going to be this guy who just soaks up, you know, targets and receptions, you know, like a slot receiver would. But as far as what Henry Ruggs can do, I think 7 touchdowns in his rookie season is absolutely feasible. And if that's the case, then he's going to be big playability. He's going to come close to this range. So for Keenan Allen, who isn't going to score touchdowns in this offense, he can soak up targets and, you know, but it's going to be a lower passing volume.
Yeah, I think it's bold, not impossible at all. Like, I don't think it's crazy at all. You know, it depends on what Derek Carr shows up this year. And that's, I think that's always the enigma of Derek Carr.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys, we're going to move into a new segment here called Who's the Next Austin Eckler? Essentially, we're going to look back at last year's examples and identify players that could see a similar situation this year. So how this will work is I will put a question out there and you two will both answer it, okay? So we'll get through as many of these as we can. First up, like I said, who is the next Austin Eckler? This mid-round running back who can jump into the top 10 at the position. I'm just going to turn it to you both. Whoever answers first, go ahead.
I mean, Jonathan Taylor, I already answered that one. So that's where I'll say. I'll stick with Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my guy, too, because I wrote down Hunt, because this is a guy that once upon a time was a top 5 overall pick. And I understand he's got to share the backfield, but I think he can, like Austin Eckler specifically, I'm kind of hyper-focusing on the guy you chose in full point PPR formats, can be a really good fantasy back. Like, he could be a really good, like, you could get a discount. You could play him as an RB2. He might even have a couple RB1 days when he scores a touchdown. But Eckler's that same kind of thing. It was about the volume. It was about the receptions. It was about him being a really good specific PPR back. And I think that's where the Eckler appeal is. And I think Hunt can bring that too. So I guess we're both boring here.
It's not like Eckler wasn't sharing a backfield last year too. Mm-hmm. So
also, that was also the last point. Thank you very much for reminding me. Thank you.
All right, guys, who is the next Ryan Tannehill, this surprise quarterback who kind of comes out of nowhere?
I mean, Joe Burrow.
Oh, no, screw you. That was mine. Well, he's like QB20 right now, right? I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it's why not? I mean, I have him as a third quarterback in one or two leagues already. It's crazy. You know, if you're going to give him to me for free, why do you think it's Joe Burrow? Because I know my reason, Mike.
I mean, Joe Burrow is the most polished quarterback I've seen come out of college since Andrew Luck. And obviously Luck and Robert Griffin III, you know, that rookie season that they had, both of them were very, very usable fantasy options that year. Joe Burrow, the surrounding cast that he has, getting Jonah Williams back. It's basically like the Bengals got 2 first round picks with Joe Burrow and Jonah Williams this year. Obviously Joe Mixon, they're learning to build the offense around him a little bit, going to evolve more in the passing game. I believe that Zach Taylor is actually a good NFL coach that was put in a bad spot last year.
I agree with that. I agree with that sentiment. And Joe Burrow for me for all of those reasons as well. And also because I think there's still that skepticism out there. And that's what's kind of causing his ADP to be where it is, which is, well, he's a rookie and he only had that one big season. But man, if you watched that season last year, he was doing it against the big time teams.
Yeah, it's the best college football quarterback performance of all time.
And Kyle, it's one thing to be doing it against, you know, some, you know, right, school that completely comes in there. It's nothing to do it against Clemson. It's
against the SEC, right.
Yeah, you know, you're doing it against NFL level players. And that's, I think, the thing. That was my big takeaway is when you're dominating the talent on the other side of the ball on defense there, that you know those guys are going to be playing in the NFL. That says a lot about the caliber of quarterback Burrow is. So I'm looking, Mike and I agree on something. It's very dangerous. So everybody take notice.
All right, guys, who is the next Darren Waller, this out of nowhere tight end? There were a few people that were hyping up Darren Waller last season, but for the majority, no one was. Who is the next Darren Waller?
I'm going to go first because I want Mike to steal mine. Yep. It's Jarwin for me because it was over 100 targets to the tight ends last year in Dallas. And now that Witten's gone, you know, Dak, you know, ever since his rookie season, Dak has always had a propensity to find that tight end. And I think that's one of his strengths is not forcing the ball. And if he's, you know, guys are covered downfield, he's going to look for the tight end, boom, hit him. And I'm not saying that all 124 targets or whatever it is are going to go to Blake Jarwin. But if 85 of them go there, all of a sudden, you know, or even 90 of them, all of a sudden you're in an interesting spot here where Jarwin could be a low end tight end one and be useful at times. And I think that's all we can possibly hope for is to find somebody that you can hit on late at tight end.
Yeah, Jarwin was a really good one. I'd probably have to go further up. Like, I mean, Hayden Hurst earlier this offseason was like tight end 16, and now he's moving up to tight end 13, it seems like. I think Hockenson is someone that can actually take a step forward.
That's going to be a fascinating one to watch this year, Mike. Like what Hockenson does in year 2.
Uh-huh. But Jarwin, I dig the Jarwin one. I think not many people realize him and Jason Witten combined for over 120. I think it was 124 targets last year. So that's a lot of targets. And I mean, you could say CeeDee Lamb's going to steal some targets, but Randall Cobb was up there in the 80s. So it's not like Randall Cobb wasn't targeted. So,
well, yeah. And that's the whole thing too. I looked at that and that's why I keep taking all these late CeeDee Lamb shares. I'm like, hey, if there's an injury to one of these other guys, the floor is 100%. What Randall Cobb did last year for CeeDee Lamb.
Yep.
You guys want to know what my fifth bold prediction was?
What? Sure. CeeDee Lamb.
Blake Jarwin will finish as a top 12 tight end.
Nice. I dig it.
Once again.
There we go.
When the brain trust is all together, I think that's very powerful. I like that.
I think my answer would be known as far as who's the next Darren Waller. It's Jonnu Smith. But we're going to move on. Who is the next Chris Godwin, this big breakout wide receiver?
I mean, that's got to be Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's go deeper because we already talked about Ridley. I like Deontay Johnson this year a lot. I have all the shares of Deontay Johnson.
There we go.
And so for me personally, I'm always looking for, when it comes to wide receiver, who's being drafted as a two that can be a one, who's being drafted as a three that could be a two, and likewise. And that served me very well last year with that strategy. And I'm kind of doing that with like Ridley or like Metcalf, and then, you know, guys like Crowder, Fuller, things like that. Guys who I think can jump one slot potentially. And Deontay Johnson's one of those guys too for me, where I think that where he's going now, you look at that Pittsburgh offense, somebody's going to step up there. And so far what I've seen, I've been more impressed with Deontay Johnson than James Washington. I think I'm just going to move on from Washington at this point and just go with Deontay Johnson. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but so far all the research has led me that way.
Yep, I have Johnson at wide receiver 35. I dig that one. And DK Metcalf actually has top five wide receiver upside. Russell Wilson and him have talked about it. Like, they bonded this offseason. DK Metcalf has been practicing with Russell Wilson at his own personal field.
Yeah, that's a big one. Same thing with Johnson, right? Him and Roethlisberger, I think, were together too. They were talking about that.
Yeah, they were.
I have a lot of wide receiver cores right now that look like Ridley, Metcalf, Deontay Johnson right now. Like,
not mad about it. Not mad.
No, not mad about it either. And once again, it's like trying to find the value on the board. If because I'm somebody who does prefer to get the running backs early and just get it out of the way, so I don't have to like play guessing games. But when you do that, you have to start looking for these names that can bump up, like I said, from one tier to the next tier. And these are all really good names to keep in mind.
As far as DK Metcalf, 17 targets inside the red zone last year, only 5 receptions, but turned those into 4 touchdowns. So if we look at his catch percentage comes up, he sees around the same number of targets inside the red zone. His catch rate comes up to even 50%. My word, he's going to be, you know, incredibly valuable for fantasy football. Absolutely could shoot up into the top 10. All right, guys, last one here. Who is the next Devontae Parker, this post-hype sleeper?
Is it bad to say maybe Corey Davis?
Oh, you know, it's not bad to say that. I would love that story.
I really would. I'd like him or John Ross. John Ross going on the COVID list. That's what I would have said, John Ross. But the COVID thing actually popped up, and that's something that I'm trying to stay away from. But Corey Davis or Anthony Miller for me.
Yeah, those are two good names. Who could be the next Devontae Parker? Yeah, that was a pretty good season. So I'm thinking like, this is going to pain me because it's so frustrating, but there's nobody else there in my opinion except Will Fuller. And I know he's hurt all the time. I get it, but like, he's got the rapport. He's got the, you know, him and Watson, you know, that connection is there, and that's something that you just can't grow on trees. So he could be, if he stayed healthy, and you know, it's funny because Devontae Parker, I guess you could put in that same exact vein. He was hurt all the time. Yeah, right. You saw flashes, you saw all these things. But it's actually in a higher degree because we've seen it already with a much better quarterback than what Devontae Parker was playing with. So I'm going to say Fuller, but I'm probably going to be wrong.
Yeah, I think looking at Corey Davis, I did a video recently for our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros. And I was talking about Jonnu Smith as a sleeper this season. And the reasoning was like, someone else has to step up in this Tennessee Titans offense. It can't all be AJ Brown. And so I like Jonnu Smith to be that guy, but if Corey Davis can finally figure it out, there's an opportunity for him here. So I like that answer. All right, guys, that is all we've got for today. Huge thank you to Joe Pisapia for coming on and chatting with us. Joe, it's a pleasure as always.
Always a pleasure, guys. It was great fun, and may all your predictions be bold.
Don't forget to follow him on Twitter if you don't already, at JoePisapia17. And guys, don't forget about the amazing giveaway that we have going on right now. Once we reach 7,000 reviews on Apple Podcasts, again, we're at 6,600 right now, we will be giving away an incredible amount of prizes for one lucky listener. To enter the giveaway, just leave an honest review for our show on Apple Podcasts. Take a screenshot of that review and also take a screenshot showing that you subscribe to our YouTube channel to qualify for the bonus prize and send those to contest@fantasypros.com. That's going to do it for today's show, guys. For Mike Tagliere and Joe Pisapia, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a groove of love.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Ready, set, griddle this grilling season. Get the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle with a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge. It reaches up to 500 degrees. The Weber Works Prep cook and store system keeps cooking supplies handy, and you can carry all the food, condiments, and utensils you need. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate Rust Resistant.